Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm not as good as the advert tonight. It's not one sheet, it's two. I've got an interesting question tonight. And hopefully, as I talk tonight and expand on my thoughts, you might learn something.
That's
an idea. And hopefully it'll be for the better. The question I'm going to pose tonight is, how do you see God? And why is this important? How do you see God, and why is this important? Right, so looking at it straight off, how do you see God? The first thing that might come to mind is church. How do you see God? Go to church. Many people think that is where God is. Who would say yes to that and agree God is in church?
Yeah.
In the same way, the same this, as Christians, are we then trying to package God up into a confined area, trying to organise a place or an area in our lives, and that's where we see God? I don't think it's supposed to be like that. Another way that maybe a non-Christian looking at it is, they might say to that scenario, might say, if church is God, then I want nothing to do with him. I don't want to go see God if that's church. Look at all the war and troubles of today. And in a lot of these wars and troubles today, they're saying they're doing it in God's name. Why do I need to see God? It can stay in church. That might be a non-Christian's view of where God is and where he can stay, as far as they're concerned. Getting back to maybe our point of view, and those that might be clever among us, you might say, well, God's in Scripture, and that's where you'll find him. So wherever my Bible is, my scripture, my verses, God is there. All I need to do is open scripture, read it, and I'll find God. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16, it's a well-known verse. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that's it. The learned folk have given us the answer. God is there. God is in your Bible. God is in Scripture. God is there. If you remember some time ago, I can't remember what I called the message I brought, but I was speaking about looking at Scripture and Scripture coming alive. And the example I gave was looking at one of those pop-up books. So that when you open the book, the picture and the story became alive. You might remember those as a child. I quite like them. Is thinking of God in Scripture, thinking of it just in one dimension? And if that's the case, I don't think we're seeing or understanding God in His fullness. Is this all what God's about? Are we just seeing a flat page describing God? Showing us what God is. He's always seen something that lies flat, either in our hands, in a book, on modern things like a tablet or computer screen, or even like I've got on my watch. It's a flat image. Is that what God is all about? How do you see God, and why is this important? In 1 John 4:12, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." So thinking about the question, it's not a physical vision of God we're seeking. Are we only looking with our eyes and not seeing the fullness of what God has to offer? Understanding God is the beauty of seeing God. So to me, God is more than one dimensional. An artist can paint an image, and that image can be in a one-dimensional form. Can you just put that first picture up, please?
Why won't it go on?
Press the black.
I am.
Yeah, and it's not cool.
No.
I'll just go put the first picture up.
Do I have to go live? Do I have to do that? That one.
That's it.
Right.
No.
Oh, that's what's coming up.
Oh dear. It's come off easy with this. Don't matter.
I haven't touched on. I'm guilty.
Oh.
It don't matter. I want the OZ. I'll try and describe it.
Not touched on, did it?
Right. It's an image, what I was going to show you, of street art. Now, street art's a wonderful thing, is where the artist will take over a piece of pavement and paint on the street an amazing picture. But this picture is one dimensional, it's flat, it's on the street. But change the angle of view of that one dimensional picture, suddenly stands out. And it was a picture I was going to show you of a snail. And the snail was painted on the floor near the bench. And to look at it from straight up above, it just looked like a flat snail shell on the floor near to a bench. With part of the image just covering the bench. Taking a look from another angle, suddenly, the snail would then appear to be climbing up onto the bench. And there was a person sat on the bench, and so it looked like this giant snail had crawled up onto the bench. Changing a one-dimensional image, which is a one-dimensional image, into a three-dimensional image by just changing the view. What an amazing picture it is. An artist can paint an image in a one-dimensional form, but by creating depth, feel, texture, and changing things on the image, changing the angle of view, it suddenly stands out and becomes alive. I think they've said, I might be wrong, I might be able to tell me if you're wrong, Stevie, because I haven't ever seen myself in real life, that apparently, if you looked at the Mona Lisa painting, the eyes, that's the one-dimensional image. That's how it's been painted on the floor. And now if we can move to the second image.
Is it that one? No.
Maybe?
No, it won't. Is that it? No.
No.
No, it won't.
No. Well, that's the one-dimensional image. You can see.
Oh, sorry.
It's gone again.
Sorry.
And you can see there, the bench was flat. Part of the image is on the bench.
That one, isn't it? No, it won't let me.
I'll just sneak back because it's quite a good picture.
No, it won't let me. Why weren't it? We double clicked it also, didn't we?
Right. This is exactly the same picture, exactly the same image, but you can see from a different perspective, a different view. Suddenly, the chalked image on the floor has moved and appears to be on the bench behind that lady. I think the lady here. What a changing view. As I was saying, I think if you looked at the Mona Lisa picture, the eyes on the picture can follow you.
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah? Strange. Amazing people that can paint such images, draw such images. What takes God from a one-dimensional image to a multi-dimensional form? I believe this verse was mentioned last week, if I remember listening to somebody. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Was it you?
No, it was the week before.
Week before. Time flies. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Scripture, which was mentioned the week before. God is different. What's different about God here in this scripture? A three-dimensional form. Quite often, we may understand the separate things. Father God, Son, and Spirit. And maybe, as good Christians, we can package them in three places in our life. Is this how you see God? Identifying the forms of God and creating your own place for each different facet to draw on when required. Putting each bit of God in a different place for a different purpose. When I go to church, I meet with God the Father. When I'm at home, I pray to God the Spirit. And when I'm at work, I walk with Jesus. Is this how we look at our Christian life? And see God and identify the forms of God? I look at God differently. Thinking of something from my younger life, something that was on a shelf in my dad's garage. No, we didn't keep God there. It's a strange place to keep God, really, in your garage. But looking on the shelf, there was always a small tin of oil. And this oil was 3-in-1. Good for bike chains. It never seemed to run out. It was the same tin all the time. This is how I'd like to look at God. With that oil, you couldn't separate the three bits. What the three bits were, I'm not sure. But 3-in-1, it did what it said on the tin. It was good for bike chains and things like that. But no matter how much you shook the tin, only one thing came out. 3-in-1. That's what came out. As we look for God, are we seeing God as a 3-in-1? Jesus tried to tell his disciples this. I've got quite a long passage to read, and I've chosen to read it out of the message because it puts it in a quite simple way to understand. Excuse me. Reading from John 16, and it's verse 1 to 3, so it might be slightly different in your, sorry, 1 to 33, it might be slightly different in your version, but try to listen to it in this version and see what you can pull out of it. I've told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. They're going to throw you out of the meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favour. They will do things because they've never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so that when the time comes and when they start in on you, you will be well warmed and ready for them. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I'm on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you have asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say again, this truth is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he exposes the error of godless world's view of sin, righteousness and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is less brought to trial and convicted. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have said, that I have done and said. He will honour me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I have said he takes from me and delivers to you. In a day or so, you're not going to see me. But then another day or so, you will see me. That stirred up a hornet's nest of questions amongst the disciples. What is he talking about? In a day or so, you're going to see me. But then in another day or so, you will see me. And because I'm on my way to the Father. What is this day or so? We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew why they were dying to ask him what he meant. So he said, are you trying to figure out amongst yourselves what I meant when I said, in a day or so, you're not going to see me. But then, in another day or so, you will see me. Then fix this firmly in your minds. You're going to be in deep mourning while the godless world throws a party. You will be sad, very sad, but your sadness will develop into gladness. When a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. There's no getting around it. But when the baby is born, there is joy in the birth. This new life in the world wipes out the memory of pain. The sadness you have right now is similar to that pain, but the coming joy will also be similar. When I see you again, you will be full of joy, and it will be a joy no one can rob from you. You will no longer be so full of questions. This is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I have revealed to you. Ask in my name, according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. I've used figures of speech in telling you these things. Soon I'll drop the figures and tell you about the Father in plain language. Then you can make your request directly to him in relation to this life I've revealed to you. I won't continue making requests of the Father on your behalf. I won't need to, because you've gone out on a limb, committed yourselves to love and trust in me, believing I came directly from the Father. The Father loves you directly. First, I left the Father, and he arrived in the world. Now I leave the world and travel to the Father. His disciples said, "Finally, you're giving it to us straight. In plain talk, no more figures of speech. Now we know you know everything. It all comes together in you. You won't have to come, you won't have to put up with our questions anymore. We're convinced you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you finally believe in the fact you're about to make a room for it and save your own skins and abandon me? But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will not be unshakable. You will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world." In this particular scripture, an image is painted. An image of a three-dimensional God. An image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It shows his purpose, his plan, and potential in our lives. The difference he can make, the power in his hands, the love, the joy. Has our vision been misted over? I have to wear glasses to help me see a little bit better. But one thing Karen likes to do with my glasses is get a finger wet and rub a finger on my glasses. And then when I try to look through the glasses, I can't see very well. But quite often, this is how we see God. You might laugh, but it is. We see God in a misted form. Or we might try and categorize put God in a place. Put God in church. I need him there. Put God in a package where we can pick out God the Father when we want to just have what we perceive as that's the bit I need. Or pull out the box that says Spirit on it and give it a shake and yeah, full of Spirit I am. Or pick out the box that says Jesus on it and go for a walk in a nice place. So yeah, I've had a natural walk with God. I've got a few things off my chest and now I can pop them back in that box. Or perhaps we might have just totally misplaced. And our vision is totally blocked. Hopefully, I've shown you a way to see God in his fullness. Jesus tried to explain God in his fullness to his disciples. And it took them a while to grasp what it was on about. But we've got hindsight, we've got that all in front of us. We can take that image of God and transform it. Transform it to the 3-1. Put meat on them bones. Do you know Father God? Do you know the Son God? Do you know the Spirit God? To me, they're the 3-1. To me, I see them all the time. That's something that each of us can grasp. That's something that each of us should strive for. 3-1. The love of the Father, the forgiveness through the Son, the care in the Holy Spirit's hands. Do you really want to detach that from your life? For each of us, we only need to keep our eyes on him, and God's there. Started with a question for you tonight. How do you see God? And why is this so important? I hope I've been able to draw a picture for you tonight. I'm not a great artist. I can't suddenly jump on the floor and draw a picture that will stand out. But just as we saw that picture there, it's still there, strangely. It changed from that one-dimensional image to what appears to be a life-like creature crawling up behind somebody. That's how I want to see God. I want to take what we know as where God is and transform it into something that becomes reality. Something that is constant. Something that is a three in one. Amen.